Make them poop logs. Thanks for joining us. This is the Film Drunk Frotcast. We're going to have a fun episode. My name is Ben. We have super blogger Vince in the house.
That's me.
We have future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan in the house.
Say it ain't so, Johnny Football.
And we have a good friend, Matt Lieb, in the house.
Beep, beep, beep.
Hey.
Unfortunately, we're missing Brett. It's like 20 minutes past his bedtime, so he couldn't stay up for this one, unfortunately. But we are going to have Burnsy on. Burnsy fan, you're excited about that. And then we'll have Laramie on as well. Vince, Matt, Laramie, and I are heading tomorrow to the Midwest to go to the Gathering of the Juggalos. It's really
this
happening.
This is deep. I didn't even know. It's like, I mean, it's almost in Kentucky. So is that
the South? Is it the Mid-South?
I don't know what you call that.
Brendan, where is that? It's basically, it's like east of Tennessee.
Illinois is the Midwest, but Kentucky is not
so
really.
So, Brendan,
strictly speaking, Illinois is Midwest. When you cross over to Kentucky, it becomes the South.
Yeah.
So, technically, Illinois.
That's like hill country.
We're in Illinois, but we're like the bottom of Illinois. If we take if we take one wrong turn, we're in Kentucky and or Tennessee simultaneously.
From what I understand, we should talk to Matt Ufford.
It's actually, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know Matt, I think in high school, lived in Southern Illinois. So he would be the authority. I seem to recall him saying it was very redneckish. Well,
he went to Northwestern, which was in Evanston, which is down south.
Evanston's Rock, by Chicago.
What's that?
Evanston's by Chicago.
Yeah, but it's further south.
Right. But it's like, it's a suburb. It's not in the country.
Well, I think it's like an hour away.
Where we're going is a lot further than that.
Yeah, I know. There's the Ohio River's there, and on one side is Cave and Rock, and if you just cross the river, you're in Kentucky.
Holy shit. So the river is the border.
I'm sure it's a dirty river, too.
That's got to be the grossest. Are we going to bring inner tubes?
We could go tubing.
We really should.
Well, it's the type of thing.
Pussy tubing.
Vince really like
Brendan
that.
Brendan knows.
Big correct, Ryan.
That's probably like the most well-known one-off punchline that I know of in any fake internet persona meme.
And it was totally apropos of nothing.
That was in Drew's, when Drew used to do fake Rex Ryan.
No more? Fake Rex Ryan?
I don't think so.
Put to sleep?
He doesn't write for KSK anymore. So.
No. Mm.
Sad day.
Sad day.
Now we got Bobby Big Wheel doing Gruden Talk.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Is he coaching Johnny Manziel on how to make more money from autographs?
No, I think that's what it was about today, though. I didn't read it.
Oh, okay.
I was busy, but...
Damn it. Work always gets in the
way of this
that.
Guy.
I know.
Son of a...
Man, you weren't working hard like me seeing like the least three movies.
Dude.
So many movies.
So many. What'd you see?
I saw Lovelace.
What's that?
I saw The Canyons. That was actually work. To finish The Canyons was work. I had to force myself.
You felt like you could hear the money going into your bank account, and that's the only way you could get through it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All those clicks. I could just hear it. Click, 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 click.
I read Lindy's review last night. It sounded miserable.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. I should have gone the route that she went, which was to just make fun of it, whereas I like tried to give it, you know, background and context and earnestness. And I was like, you know, I'm not sure it deserved that.
Yeah. So what grade did it get after all that earnestness?
C-, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever given out an F?
Yes.
What comes to mind as an F?
A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swanson.
That's the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's pretty, yeah, it's up there. Like it was... Like, I watched 2 minutes of it, and I was like, oh, my God, is it all going to be like this? And it was all like that. It took, like, five sittings to get through it.
What did Room 237 get?
Oh, yeah. I never reviewed that, but I don't know if I can even review. I have a hard time feeling like I should review ones that I just can't sit through. I mean, technically, that should be a worse grade, right?
Well, it depends on how you're judging it. As a sleep aid, high marks.
It's like a W for withdrawal.
Yeah, I did that for that one Bob Dylan movie called I'm Not There a few years back where it was like...
That was supposed to be dog
shit. A little black kid plays Bob Dylan, and then Kate Blanchett plays Bob Dylan, and then a raccoon plays Bob Dylan. And I was like, who gives a shit, man?
You know who should have played him? Andy Serkis.
Exactly.
As a gorilla, as Bob Dylan.
Slap the ping pong balls on that guy. He could do anything.
Yeah.
I think Bob Dylan was having like a lot of fun getting stoned and writing fun word associations in the 60s, and I'm totally fine with that. That's awesome. But then everybody's like, oh, he's a prophet. It's like, no, he's definitely
he's
not.
He's just a stoner musician guy. And hey, he made some good tunes.
I think that's why he's so reclusive, because he doesn't really respect anyone that worships him that much. He's sort of just like, dude, what are you, what? No.
He's like, I was high the whole time.
I was writing about cats screaming into a drain pipes. Like, it wasn't it wasn't supposed to be life advice.
Doesn't really rhyme. It's not even that melodic, but, you know, people like it.
It sounds cool. And that's like the point of, you know, of song poetry. It's supposed to sound cool.
They should have put Bob Dylan in
every
movie.
Every single person who's seen your quote is, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Like, he dies a little bit inside.
Yeah.
That wasn't profound.
Class of 2013.
I've heard that at Bob Dylan concerts, it's actually like you can actually play a game where you sit there trying to figure out what song he's singing, and it's really
so
hard.
So he played the Shoreline with,
was it the Bridge School?
Wilco?
Different one.
Yeah, like Wilco played this last weekend, and this guy was telling me, and he said, I'm pretty sure he played Tangled Up in Blue, which I know very well, but I'm not 100% sure it was Tangled Up in Blue.
Because it's more of the Mumbletown version?
Yeah.
Well, he has like, he'll go up there with like 10. Banjos and like a choir of kazoos and shit. Like, you never know what he's gonna
do. But he doesn't quite enunciate the words either.
Even at his best, he didn't enunciate. Yeah. So I can't imagine what like all the years of hard drugs and four religious conversions have done to him.
Vince, your impression of him sounds like when you're getting a drill work done in your mouth. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Like I'm at the dentist. Your bug meters.
Pretty good.
I don't know what he said. It sounded like Bob Dylan, though.
Yeah. Pretty good.
We got a couple voicemails.
We did?
Oh, yeah.
Did you pre-screen these, or are we just going hot?
There's only three of them.
We're just going to raw dog them?
We're just going to raw dog it.
All right, these better be good.
All right.
I hope they brought the pain.
I hope they brought the noise and the funk.
Big fan. Calling to say good luck at the gathering. Don't expect crazy cell phone service or internet because that's not going to happen. Definitely try to make it out to the Nedden game, and if you're up that late to that Dark Lotus show, that should be a real spectacle. And Brett can go fuck himself. Peace.
The Nedden game?
That's a dating game.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
There's the Juggalo dating game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm doing this.
They're going to ask you Juggalo questions, and then people are going to be like, and then they find out you're not a Juggalo, and then you're going to be like, also, I'm Jewish, and they're going to be like, get the rope.
Dude, I'm going to wear a yarmulke the entire time.
You really?
I'm tempting fate. I don't give a fuck. Because they're always like, we got Juggalos of all kinds of people. We got black Juggalos. We got white Juggalos. And that's it. That's there's two types of people, black people and white people.
I don't think they could possibly know enough Jews to be prejudiced against them.
Yeah, no, you might be right. In fact,
I'm from Fresno. I knew one Jewish family in my entire life before college.
Why were they there? What'd they do wrong?
They needed a math teacher at the college, literally. That's what they did.
Someone has to be the landlord.
Someone has to be the math teacher, banker.
Who's going to collect interest? So, I mean, if I'm in Fresno, which is like, you know, 2 hours from the coast,
and we
had one Jew, how many Jews are there like in, you know, Missouri?
Negative 28.
Yeah. You know, the trip that we are bringing, what, how many? Three?
At least three.
So, I mean, that's going to be a huge percentage of the population.
That's going to be an infinity percentage increase.
Yeah, and they're going to be like, of course, the Jewish media is here. It's going to be great. I'm going to wear a yarmulke. I just want to see what happens.
How many do you own?
I own two.
Are they from weddings, or are they actually like the nice ones?
The ones from Israel and ones from the shop. There's the gift shop over at the Jewish Museum.
Is it like a look like a little basketball or something?
No, it just looks like it's just a bunch of lines, and it's nothing special.
Okay.
I kind of want to like embroider like a hatchet man on it.
Ooh,
I think people will be into it. They're like, look at his little hat with the hatchet man. Let's kill him softly.
There's a new deli in the Jewish Museum, by the way. It's exceptional.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I haven't been in a while.
Yeah, it just opened like last week.
Oh, yeah?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have a yarmulke that's like those opera glasses. It's just on the end of a stick, so I just sort of put it up there and take it off.
Howdy, ma'am.
Like when you're feeling extra Jewish, you put it on, and then it's like, you know, you're somewhere where you don't quite.
Yeah,
you
just
tip of the yarmulke to you, my lady.
When you have to balance your checkbook,
put it back on.
Hey,
a good shalom to you.
It comes with the visor that you wear when you're doing accounting.
Right.
All right, we got another one.
do whatever you want to be known as. The Juggalos are not known as a peaceful creature, and I was wondering which one of you guys is going to piss off a Juggalo first. I think it's going to be Brett. He's just too nihilistic. Or fake Brett. He's just fucking irritating. Anyway, brought on, and I hope you guys aren't strung up under the drug bridge or whatever it's called.
So I disagree. I feel like the Juggalo is a peaceful creature.
Yeah, I am. I do too.
Every time you see them, they're so supportive. It's a very loving, inclusive group. And honestly, every person I know who kind of sought out to sort of like make fun of Juggalos, they always end up totally sympathizing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's always like so much Stockholm syndrome because they're always like, hey, man, they're just like super positive. Like my friend had this troll website that was all about like Juggalo news. And he was so good at it, he amassed like an actual Juggalo following. And he was talking about how like at first it was this very antagonistic kind of thing he was trying to do. And then he goes like, I just ended up sympathizing with all these guys who were emailing me and like correcting me on stories and going like, hey, my ninja, that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he's like, you know, they're all so nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. Getting strung up under the drug bridge would be a bummer.
Yeah. I guess definitely. Unless you're Tila Tequila. They weren't nice.
Well, yeah, but that's a bad idea from the start.
Right.
That's a little bit on her.
Honestly, I respect them for throwing poop at Tila Tequila.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you would have done it too.
It showed some foresight.
That's the proper reaction that all of pop culture should have had to Tila Tequila.
Well, yeah. The other thing too, from all the interviews,
I guess it's kind of the same reaction Sean Merriman had.
Hey-o.
Sorry, I had to go there.
I think they all feel, not necessarily all, but a lot of them just seem like they're sort of feel misunderstood by the rest of you know, and so they're like they want to show that they're not just psychopaths hatcheting people to death.
Also,
but if it's anyone, you know, it could be us.
Right. Also, I feel like the more educated, I mean, I don't want to insult the Juggalos right before I'm going to go hang out with them, but I feel like the more educated and more, intellectual you get, the more people just pick fights with people who almost agree with them completely. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, the smarter you get, the more you're fucking agreeing with
you're
somebody who you're like 98% same.
You're splitting hairs at that point.
Yeah. Also known as like the Gawker Network, you know, where it's like, all right, we're picking fights with people who are almost the exact same.
Well, that's because we don't have real problems. So then we just pick out stuff that we don't like.
Yeah.
But it's really semi irrelevant.
So if you go the opposite way, it's just free. It's, you know,
it's
peace
free,
and love, man.
Free love,
it's going to be Burning Man in the Midwest. That's basically what my feeling about it is.
That's what I call it.
You're going to go
Burning
there.
Burning Hatchet Man.
Yeah. But seriously, Burning Hatchet Man. Because I went to Burning Man in 2008, and I was like, I wasn't going ironically, but I was going there fully expecting it was going to suck. Everyone there was going to be like, who is this loser? You're not one of us and whatnot. And everyone was going to be negative. Oh, it was so much better last year, that whole thing. And as soon as I got there, everyone was like, oh, welcome. You know, you're home now and whatnot. And I just got this feeling of like, you know what? This is actually a really wonderful place. And then when I watched footage of the gathering, they were saying the exact same things, like talking about home and family and all that shit. So I feel like it's going to be Burning Man pretty much.
I don't know how this happened or why, but when I think about Burning Man, I know it's a cool place. I know people have gone and you can kind of find what you're looking for, and there's all sorts of crazy shit going on, and it's really interesting. But for whatever reason, I can't not picture it as that part in Blood Meridian when they get attacked by the Apaches wearing the wedding dresses.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
How often does that happen?
Tree of dead babies.
I don't remember most of Burning Man. I was on a lot of acid. This is before I decided to quit all the drugs.
Oh, this was this was drug, Matt.
This was drug, Matt. So it was like, it was acid and morphine pretty much 90% of the time.
Drug Matt did all the drugs.
Yeah, pretty much. I did all the drugs I could find, and still had it was a marvelous time. Now, it's going to be interesting going there, and I want to go to the drug bridge just to hang out at the drug bridge.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do drugs. I just want to watch you guys do drugs.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried. I don't want you to relapse on me.
I don't think...
You went four years sober?
I got 4 years sober, and I'm not going to relapse at the fucking gathering of the Juggalos.
It's just funny. You're like, I want to put myself in the most intense drug situation ever. Like a guy who's out of combat, and you're like, I need to be embedded with SEAL Team 6.
Listen, I waited years and years to put myself in a position. This was the year I was going to go back to Burning Man. I was thinking, I was like, you know what? It's been 4 years. I could go to Burning Man and
the
feel okay.
It's out of my system.
Yeah, it's out of my system. I don't feel like I need to go there to trip or anything. I just want to enjoy the experience. And now I'm putting myself in an even better situation because now it's going to be in the middle of a place where to actually do hard psychedelics or any kind of drugs in the middle of Clown Central with hatchets was the most terrifying idea.
Especially when you buy the drugs from clowns with hatchets.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, trust me, it'll be fun. Like, yeah. This is not... Yeah.
I have a weird thing with Burning Man where when I picture it, like if I went to it, I imagine it being like super cool. I would never pay $1,000 or whatever it costs to like go there.
$400.
Yeah, like whatever. I wouldn't pay over $100 to go there because... Uh-huh. It seems like it'd be really, I imagine you'd get into some crazy shit and it'd be really awesome. So I don't judge it on that in that sense. But then anytime I'm like, you know, doing the online dating thing and a chick's got a picture of herself at Burning Man or talking about Burning Man, I'm like, done. click, yeah. Just instant. No, yeah. I don't want to hear about Burning Man. I don't want to talk. I don't want to be around someone who's like super into Burning Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
The people that go love the shit out of it though. Right.
Yeah. No, it's like a lot of people, it's like their life revolves
they
around
plan
it.
Their whole year leads up to Burning Man and then it's Burning Man. And then as soon as it's done, they're basically planning next year.
A man's burnt, and you got to find a new man to burn.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of people who that's the case for. And then there's a lot of people just go there to fuck around and party and have a good time. The problem is they never say that. If you interview 90% of the people at Burning Man, they're going to be like, I am here because of art. I'm here because
community.
Of love, community. And all this bullshit when it's all just bullshit.
Yeah.
They're really there for the same reason the Juggalos are at the gathering. They're there to get fucked up with their friends. Like that's
why I like the Juggalos. No pretense.
Exactly. No pretense whatsoever. They're just real about
it. They can finally just wear their clown makeup all day long and have fun.
And not feel weird about it.
Yeah, because everyone's got it, including us. Yeah.
I talked to someone who is at Burning Man. They were talking about these lesbians had this teepee where... Like they had cold air blowing into this teepee and they covered it so it was like pitch dark and I forget what kind of music they're pumping into it.
Enya?
But it was like music pumped into this dark teepee where they had fur on the ground and apparently like they finished off this bottle of wine and they were, you know, doing butt stuff with it.
Lesbian stuff.
Yeah. All right. Lesbian butt stuff.
Cool.
Front butt, back butt.
Yeah. Gut
they do
butt.
They do have two butts as you
fuck my gut butt.
Yeah, I got that part cut off because the GoPro didn't fucking...
Oh, it's my fault now.
It's not your fault. I'm just upset about it.
Vince did a comedy show, and in the most Vince way possible, the camera cut out during his set, which is...
In the middle of, like, my main story, like, my longest chunk.
Is that not your life story, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty much my life story.
I'm just saying...
We could probably CG the rest of it with Andy Serkis.
That's true.
Let's not rule that out.
I had a good set, and there's not that many times where you have like a great set and you're recording it. It's usually like one or the other.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well, you got to book another Film Drunken Friends.
Oh, so much work. All right, I got to get Burnsy on the horn.
All right, let's get Burnsy on.
He's got a corner. We got to put him in.
I want to know what happened with that TP. Did they do anything else besides fuck each other in the gut?
What else do you need to know, man?
I guess not.
Hello.
All right, well, we got Burnsy. He's got a corner.
Are we in your corner, or do you put us in a corner?
Nobody puts you guys in a corner.
Who was going to go there first?
Burnsy, what's going on?
What is not going on is the question.
Are you just standing your ground every day and just murdering people?
And by murder, so much I mean self-defense. I don't even know where to start.
Self-defense is what I mean.
Oh, I actually don't know how to defend myself.
But with stand your ground, you just get a gun and you're good.
Yeah, you don't need to know how.
That's true. I think that law was actually invented for me because shrieking like a girl and pissing my pants is not actually a good self-defense method.
That's the piss your ground law.
Yeah.
Illegal, ironically.
You can do that here, too. We have that in San Francisco. If someone's attacking you, you can just piss your ground.
Or if they're not attacking
you. Actually, in San Francisco, it's called the stain your ground law.
Okay.
Well done.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns, so as a Floridian, were you happy that the MMA match between the guy with Down syndrome and the guy with cerebral palsy, were you proud of your state for banning that? Or were you upset about it?
I don't know. That I've read that twice now, and I'm pretty torn about it. Cause like I don't want to take away a dude's dream.
Yeah, they clearly wanted to fight each other.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, how about just an exhibition where they try, you know, where they show off like submission moves and stuff like that, so they don't have to necessarily fight each other.
Right.
Because I feel like there's something pretty awful about a dude with ALS getting punched and kicked in the head.
Well, neither of them had ALS.
I thought he had cerebral palsy. Okay.
Yeah. That one, well, that's kind of hard because the guy with cerebral palsy has a functioning, like a normal functioning brain, but his muscles don't work right.
Yeah.
Whereas the guy with Down syndrome
has these great muscles.
Well, he has a little of both. He's got some muscles and he's also, you know, they have a different body structure.
Well,
but
the guy with Down syndrome is ripped.
I will say this. I have a whole new, I can't look at people with Down syndrome the same way after watching the crash reel. Like, the kid with Down syndrome was like insightful, articulate, and introspective, which freaked me the fuck out.
For those of you who don't know, it's an HBO documentary about, how was his name? Kevin?
Kevin Pierce.
Kevin Pierce, snowboarder, had a really bad brain injury, and it was about head injuries. It was originally just going to be a documentary about him as a snowboarder, and then he had this really bad brain injury, was in a coma for a while, and it was about brain injuries, but serious ones. And he has a brother who has Down syndrome, and the Down syndrome brother knew he had Down syndrome, and he's like, I get bummed out that
he
I
gets bummed out about his own Down syndrome and how much he hates his.
Like he realizes affliction. That he has it, because my understanding is there's levels of Down syndrome just like other mental disorders.
Yeah, he's clearly way more high functioning than
spectra.
Most, yeah,
yeah. Well, because he also dominated the Special Olympics.
Yeah,
and I know that they even mentioned it where when they knew they had the Down syndrome kid, they said, well. I mean, there is a, you know, if there's anything that you can get him to do, Down syndrome kids usually do really well at athletic events at Special Olympics. But yeah, he knew he had Down syndrome, and it was hard to.
He was like, he was legitimately insightful, which was really fucking freaky.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, he has a tough time still with a lot of sort of normal day to day stuff. Anyway. Let them fight. Do they have wrestling in the?
Let them fight.
Do they have wrestling in the Special Olympics? Honest question.
I think so.
So why can't you have a couple MMA events there?
What about boxing? Do they have boxing in the Special Olympics?
I don't think that they do, but let's not rule it out.
All right.
If they want to fight, let it fight. Just don't turn it into a big spectacle.
Well, because if it's Downs versus MS or cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Then that's not fair.
It's got to be Downs versus Downs.
Yeah, Downs versus Downs. It's like which person with Downs is
maybe
the
guy with CP is Wiley.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I'm not saying that a CP person couldn't beat up a Down syndrome person. I'm just saying that that's not really, you know, that doesn't prove that one is worse than the other.
They're,
you know?
They're different fighting classes.
Right. That would be like having, you know, like race wars for the fun.
But does this fight, in this case, you know, a guy with Down syndrome against a guy with CP, does that qualify as a super fight?
Yeah, I guess so.
In a way.
Yeah.
It looks like they don't have boxing.
It's kind of like John Jones versus GSP, I guess.
But do they have wrestling? Brendan? Sorry, Bernsie, we're checking Special Olympics categories.
Looks like they don't have boxing. Let's see if they have wrestling. Keep going.
We had a guy at my elementary school. I can't remember if he actually had cerebral palsy or if people just thought he did because he was uncoordinated. And his name was Travis Pauls. And you can imagine what his nickname was.
Travis Pauls.
I didn't come up with his nickname, by the way.
Or his last name. That's not on you.
No, it's not on me.
It looks like wrestling is in the Special Olympics.
I realize there's still a weird difference to people between MMA and wrestling, but, you know, not that much different.
No.
Well, you can't punch.
No,
it's pretty different.
True, but I'm just saying it's... It's similar. You're right. I mean, it's
well, once you get on the ground, it's the same.
MMA is definitely more violent. You know, you got punching and kicking, but it's not. It's more similar than a lot of things.
Yeah. You can't use chairs.
No wrestling in Special Olympics. Yeah. Just
not.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling.
Yeah.
No, too soon. Bernsie, what is going on in your corner?
I don't know. I feel so uncomfortable right now.
I feel like we shouldn't
even be talking about that in the first place.
I'm just thinking of some really wrong jokes that I just...
No, but I'll tell you from the Florida perspective, though, that I guarantee that whoever put an end to it, whichever lawmakers jumped in and freaked out or whatever, I guarantee they didn't even know what was going on. They just heard Down syndrome and they were like, no, shut it down.
Yeah. Go, you know, self-defense, murder some people.
They just heard, you know what it is? It's like the letter writing. Like, we're really ruled by people who write letters, because there's probably like 20 people that wrote letters like, oh my God, isn't this a travesty? And the politician's like, what? Huh? Oh yeah, sure. And he's like, aren't I great? Stop, shut down this travesty.
Yeah.
Berzy, do you think it's the same guy that killed Lion Tacos?
I guarantee it's the same guy, and I'm going to find out who it is. And he will not get reelected on my watch.
You know who it is? It's Representative Reginald Tatum. He's Channing's father. He's very, very
from the District of Tampa.
From the District of
Tampa.
What
you need to do is stand your ground on him.
Just go to different people's houses and stand your ground.
I mean, it's a big loophole that I feel like not enough people are utilizing.
Yeah.
I'm standing my ground. Yeah.
Halloween is also a big loophole that no one's utilizing. Just stand your ground on whoever's dressed in a way you don't like.
I'm standing my ground here. Yeah. Bernsey, what's going on in your corner?
I'm not positive. What do you want to start with?
We have Corey Feldman's Ascension Millennium.
That is my it's not my pick for song of the year. I don't want to give it that much credit, but it's probably the song that I've listened to and watched the video for most this year so far.
Okay, well, I don't want to, you know, it is more visual than audio, but I will I'll give you the rundown of the about on the YouTube, unless you want to do it, Bernsey.
What's that?
I'll do it. Join Corey as he takes you on a musical journey through his Feld mansion in this day in the life adventure. Flanked by two of Corey's angels, he dances and sings his way through scenes featuring his pal Sean Astin from the Goonies to an MJ-style dance sequence, and eventually to his recording studio, which shakes and crumbles to become a concert stadium where he performs Ascension Millennium, the brand new single from Corey's upcoming solo album. Premiered on MTV July 1st, 2013, and with Hours had reached the coveted Buzzworthy status.
Whoa, this is like contemporary. I thought this was straight out of 1986.
Yeah, this is brand new.
We got another throwback we're going to do in a bit, but we get first this one. It's contemporary.
But a couple things to point out that they don't point out on the description there. One, the style of the video is they're doing that thing. You know, the Black Eyed Peas did it for that Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night video where they just do the one shot. Uh-huh. So they do the one shot straight through his mansion, and there's like five particular moments that are absolutely hilarious that you can tell they just didn't rehearse it, and it's just, you know, such a shit show. I mean, it's like a high school AV club video at some points. But and then the other thing is when I first saw the video like 3 weeks ago, I think it had 265,000 YouTube views on it. And as of today, it only has 270,000. So nobody's watching this damn thing.
And that's mostly you.
But yeah, I've watched it 300,000 times. So it's got negative 30,000 views on it.
It's always good when you open with the song title. He had a topless girl in his bed.
Two.
Ooh.
That means he sucked on some titty.
Can you imagine being at a bar and, like, you're hitting on some girl and Corey Feldman takes her home?
Yeah. I can't actually imagine.
Why does it sound like he's underwater?
Wait, is that him singing right now?
I would assume.
I've been waiting for him to start singing, but it's...
He looks like Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, with eyeliner and way less attractive. Has he said anything but the song title so far?
When does the song start?
Now, he he got really obsessed with these two words and decided to say them over and over again.
I like how he's doing the Michael Jackson thing because I kind of don't think he ever grew out of it. Remember those videos from like 1988 where he
just
was like
wait.
Doing...
Just wait, man.
Doing all the MJ stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's Sean Astin.
Don't you remember your Sam?
It's the one I really schooled. Oh, that's the statue where the penis breaks off. It's on the piano from the Goonies. And she goes, it's my mom. He goes, it's my mom's favorite piece.
Nice.
That statue was on the...
Well, they got to throw Easter eggs for the Goonies fans, yeah. Of whom are all still following Corey Feldman, obviously.
Right.
Is that Gary Coleman? What is that kid from?
Gary's dead. He's dead. Why did they turn down his vocal track so low? Like, it's ridiculous.
You can barely hear him.
Because it's Corey Feldman, I'm guessing.
This is a real song. This is not a joke.
It's buzzworthy, too. I know this is probably not great radio, but I mean, I'm kind of fascinated where this is going to go. Is that Yorma Taccone? No, it's not. Spoiler alert, it's not.
Right now he's dancing like Michael.
So that was fun.
I'm still waiting for the song to start.
Like, I know, right?
That is so strange.
Seems like
so
a lot of buildup.
Are we in the Ascension Millennium?
I don't even know what that means.
I think we're ascending to the Millennium. Maybe?
I feel like that song's 13 years late.
My guess would be that there's some sort of, you know, like he'll try to tie some sort of deep significance to it of like, well, if you study ancient astrological prophecies, they believe that this is the millennium where we all truly ascend into the next consciousness of being.
Yeah.
You know, like that's my guess.
Yeah, this sounds right.
As to what he's going to say.
So now we're in the ascension millennium.
Yes.
Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it just means that all of his friends have ascended to the afterlife because everyone he knows is dead.
Ouch.
they're all dead. All his friends.
Samwise Gamgee's is still alive.
That's true. Samwise is still around.
I mean, Rudy.
I bet Corey never dreamed that Samwise Gamgee would ascend past him in fame, like just eclipse him.
Being a best picture ever.
Yeah, like while they were making Goonies, Corey's like, dude, I got this fame thing.
Yeah.
This little pudgy kid ain't got nothing on me.
Right.
And all this
he'll play my sidekick in a bunch of movies.
In Lost
bet.
Boys 8. I guess that was even before. In Goonies 8, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh,
Corey. He's still hanging on, though. He's still
it's cool
on
that he's
dream.
Hanging on. I didn't know that he could do that.
And he's doing better than the other, Corey.
I watch the Goonies once a year.
Aww.
Yeah. I watch the Goonies once a year, and it's still a fantastic movie.
Oh, well,
Corey Feldman's still trying to squeeze out that Goonies sequel.
Is he?
I've heard about... Is that, like, really happening, or is that just, like... Is
no,
that just Corey Feldman just hyping shit?
It's like
Corey
when Feldman. Tara Reid is like, I'm going to do Big Lebowski Part 2. Like,
because I remember in 2000 when there was, like, four movie sites, one of them was Ain't It Cool News, and they were always talking about Goonies 2, and this was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
That's why there's more movie sites now.
Right, exactly.
Do you know any good ones, Vince?
They left a big gap in the market for people who care about movies other than the possibility of a Goonies 2.
Would you say even a gape?
That's like the perfect thing for Ain't It Cool to care about is a second Goonies.
Yep.
He always, anytime I haven't seen him for a while, it's the first time I've heard from Corey in a while, but every time I feel like he's working on the next Lost Boys. I don't even know what number up to. I feel like there might be close to double digits. But he's holding on to that Last Boys franchise for dear life.
He and River won. Oh, wait, River's dead. he's also dead from drugs. Oh, his friends are dead.
I feel man, he must be a fun guy to prank call.
Oh. Hey, Corey, it's River.
Hey, man, it's Corey, man. Corey, it's Corey, man.
Just do all sorts
it's
of
Michael.
Like
hey.
80s. Yeah.
Hey, it's Michael.
And then he...
From beyond the grave. I miss you, Corey.
It's Corey. And then you can just call him up with someone who's still alive, like, hi, this is Steven Dorff. And then he like, just hangs up on you. He doesn't want to talk to Steven Dorff.
He only wants to talk to his dead friends.
Oh, man.
Hey, Corey, it's me.
Put on Michael Jackson.
Hey. Break up my red jacket with all the zippers. I need to talk to Michael.
Didn't they actually make The Lost Boys 2?
I think they made three.
Oh, yeah,
now.
They did.
Three, yeah.
Oh, really?
Right?
And they had Corey Feldman in it, but not Corey Haim. And then Corey Haim died. There was like a...
Not
Corey
by a vampire.
Holding out for.
Well, like, no one wanted Corey Haim because he was a big old drug addict. And I remember there was like a whole like documentary or some sort
it
of
was
TV,
a TV show.
Show
yeah, I think, yeah, yeah.
About the Corys.
He put a full page Variety ad up that said,
like, I'm back.
I'm back. I'm ready to work. Someone hire me. And then no one did.
Yeah.
I think it was called The Two Corys or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It was one of like TLC or one of those shows carried it. And Corey Haim moved into Corey Feldman's house.
Painfully scripted.
Yeah, yes. Well, those two, I don't think, have a lot of natural personality.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just goes to show you, like, they were just in the right place at the right time, because neither of them had any acting talent, because you're like, this is a reality show, and it's painful how scripted this is.
Yeah, as soon as they grew up at all, I was like, ah.
Well, it was weird. It's weird how certain people seem like they lose. Like, most people gain acting talent as they get older,
right.
And certain child actors seem like they get worse. Because Corey Haim wasn't a bad actor when he was a teenager.
And I think some people just don't really progress at all. A while ago, did you see that video that came out of the kid? I can't even remember his name, but he was Elliot in E.T.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his audition.
Amazing.
And he's just like, hey, I'm here to audition. And Steven Spielberg's like, okay, here's the situation. And he just goes into character. And it's like, oh, like it,
yeah.
You know, like, don't take E.T. away. And it's like, it was so amazing that like this little kid's acting like that, and it's like, whatever happened to that guy? I don't know, he never did anything after that.
Yeah.
So it's like he kind of just hit the peak of his acting abilities there and never really got any better.
I kind of think if you do bad stuff you learn really horrible habits. I mean, you know, ask Justin Halpern sometime about trying to audition child actors who've been doing those Disney sitcoms for a while where they fuck every punchline, you just ham it up
right.
Super hard.
Everything
and they ask where the canned laughter is.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, it's what you're doing. You're just waiting for canned laughter.
Well, every line you say, there's laughter.
Yeah, and you have to play it super big in like this way that doesn't make sense in any world.
Except in the world of like of UPN, I guess UPN doesn't exist anymore, but like in black sitcoms, you definitely can do the big hammy, like, you know, every joke is about to happen because their voice starts raising and then everyone laughs. Yeah. So I feel like they could transition seamlessly to whatever Tyler Perry is making.
I feel like the Feldman could have gotten a lot more views if he had just given Will Smith like 16 bars and called it Ascension Millennium.
Oh, ooh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh. Dude.
He went there.
Yeah. Wow.
Remix, though. It's not too late.
Yeah.
That's his motto, right?
What, Will Smith?
Corey Feldman. It's not too
late. It's never too late. And Will Smith.
Oh, Ben got a new Tinder match.
Oh, boom. Will Smith is always looking for a couple bucks.
Yeah, he's always.
He's never above a couple bucks.
He's never. He's really
and
not.
And then all of a sudden, Will comes in. Here I am rapping with Corey Haim. And
like, hey, come on. Well, close enough. All right, what else we got in Burnsy's Corner, Vince?
Why are you asking me? You got Burnsy here.
Well, you were playing the other video. Burnsy, what else is in the corner?
The other video that I have for this great installment of the Frogcast is a 1988 Fraternity Rush video from the University of Southern California.
Ooh. What fraternity?
And it is one of the most amazing things that you will ever hear or watch.
Tommy Twat, 69 douchebags, time in and fuck, beat him up, nibble gobble chew. We're the Kappa Actors. Who the fuck are you?
Do you think they made this beat themselves?
Probably. Oh, yeah, pretty cool looking.
We have one black guy, which is impressive that they put him right in the front and center.
He's dancing good.
He can't dance though.
He's dancing better than the rest. And that guy's just holding a guitar. Oh, girl! Oh, no, it's a dance.
Rainbow of the road, girl, the color of the school. Cool and cool, no, I ain't nobody's fool. My name's Richie C. O.D. Say that I'm slow. Why? Because
because I'm hot. But no, they don't know. Red is our anger, so don't get us mad. Fly, and damn, I'm glad. Orange and yellow, cohort crushing cool. Cautious kicking mellow, and mean with green jewels. Blue is our sympathy and our guilt in the go.
He's got a whole color theme.
We're pilot setting trends on the road.
I feel like I've never seen him before, but I feel like I've seen him fuck.
Kaipa never will die because we made out of go.
Look at his body. I've seen him fuck for sure.
I have no doubt.
This song and this beat sounds like it belongs in like a Madden Super Nintendo game.
The funny thing
it's
is,
like the menu music for John Madden Football 91. My
name is 85% of these guys are dads now.
What it means to you.
85% of these guys were dads then. They just didn't know it.
Gentle, but firm, and felt for days. I hear quite clearly, perceive just as well. Kai-Fi is my crib, and where I'm as well. I think you see what I'm saying. Yes, I hope it's quite clear. I'm smelling like a drunk cousin. Everclear, clear to taste and touch, to hear and to see. I can smell your illusions like the sap on a tree. Nice.
Whoa, that is some deep. I can smell your illusions like a sap. Man.
You like that, don't you?
He must have been a creative writing major.
That is some Chet Hayes shit right there.
Oh, real G's rolling sounds like lasagna got nothing on that.
I could smell his similes like sap on a tree, but that's.
Damn.
That's. Like that.
I told you about how that I went to that wedding with my ex-girlfriend where it was like her cousin's wedding and they're super religious and so they're singing these, you know, Christian songs.
Those are called hymns?
Hymns. No, it was like a grace song, you know, and one of them was about how like if Jesus was an ocean, I would be the shore and I would like soak up all your grace or something like that. It was
like the water would run over.
It was really, it was a really creepy metaphor.
the only song I know about Jesus is Jesus Can't Play Rugby.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good one.
One guy, a guy from that I went to elementary school. He went to UCSD and he quit the team because of our mocking of Christ in the Jesus Can't Play Rugby song.
That's a good one. That's my favorite rugby song.
Oh yeah, Jesus can't play rugby because he's got illegal headgear.
Yeah. So it's basically it's Battle Hymn of the Republic, but there's lots of verses, and the if you want to sing the next verse, you hold your elbow up so everyone knows you're ready to sing the next verse, and then everyone kind of looks at you and you go, Jesus can't play rugby because he only has 12 friends.
Right. And you make up the why he can't play rugby.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fun.
Jesus can't play rugby because his dad will fix the game. What else is there? There's
a Jew won't pay his dues.
Because he's tied. Because he's nailed up to the goalposts. Yeah. That's one of them.
I like illegal headgear.
Yeah, illegal headgear is by far the standout. One.
Because it's true, you can't play with a crown of thorns or somebody.
The ball goes through his feet.
I didn't get it at first, but now I get it. That's really
fun. Someone's going to get hurt more than normal.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So, Burns, did you go back in time?
That was only halfway through the Y Kai-Fi video, for the record.
Did you go back in time and join
that
fraternity?
Like another 2.5 minutes.
I want to go back and be friends with Richie C.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems pretty chill.
I mean, he's like the bro of all bros.
He created, like, if you killed him, if you beheaded him, bros. All other bros die.
Dude, you know how many slam pieces that guy's probably banged?
Oh, yeah.
That bugs the shit out of me, by the way. The word slam piece?
Never even heard of that.
Like, you know, I was
just... Did you read that horrible email?
Yeah, that one went out on Gawker yesterday. It was...
God, that was awful. granted, I wish I was in that guy's fraternity because I would have applied for that job, but...
Yeah.
So is slam piece a nice, attractive woman?
Yes.
I don't approve.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I'm not incorporating that into my vocabulary.
The worst part about it is the email says, guys, I don't know what's going on, but I went out in the job market and no one would hire me. I don't even know what the fuck's happening, bros. Anyway, my dad is going to give me early access to my trust fund, mid-7 figures, and I'm going to start a hedge fund. We're all going to make a ton of money. Here's what I need. And he puts job descriptions. And basically, he's like, he posts like an analyst where he's like, you got to come from a quant background. And then he posts two other positions. It's like, various administrative work and pulling slam pieces for us to bang, maybe even during work hours.
But do you think that was a serious email or if the guy just meant that as a joke?
So if you read the article, the person who wrote it actually said, I censored the names, but I did some Googling and I found out who this person's dad is. And wow. Mm-hmm. So the person's dad is somewhat prominent. So I think it's real. I don't know.
Oh, it has to be real. If it's not real, I'm going to be depressed.
Right.
Because I want that guy to like do weddings. So he's like, do you take this slam piece to be your lawfully wedded bitch? And then like later he like says to the woman, he's like, are you going to let my bro crush your pussy for the rest of your life?
That could be a side business for him. One of the quants is setting that up.
You're like Fox Mulder. You want to believe.
Are you willing to keep it tight so I can keep crushing it well into the 70s?
Do you, Britney, you slam piece bitch, take this brush
for bearable,
this rich ass
in
brush
in hangover or in partying?
But never he baptizes his kid in Jaeger.
May you never take a short position on me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm into that. Who's gonna make sure?
I don't have a problem with that guy.
Bernsie, be honest, is that you?
Oh, I wish.
Of our presence in the house of Kai-Fi, not senseless or relentless, just a great bunch of guys.
Not senseless or relentless, just a great bunch of guys.
Just come out the house and walk down the street. I'm troll on a roll, and I'm always in heat.
Does it bug you that we'll never ever be as cool as those guys?
Did you just hear him say that he's always in heat?
He's always in heat.
His name's Troll.
I thought his name was Joel.
I thought he's a troll on a roll, and he's always
in heat. He looks like Ducky from Pretty in Pink, and he's always in heat.
Wow. You can just feel the heat coming off his genitals.
Yeah.
The dogs are chewing through the fence post to get at him.
And then Richie C is sniffing girls' asses.
Oh, man.
Have you found Richie C yet, Bernsie?
I got to imagine that he's dead. But from something really awesome. Like, you know, I don't want him to be dead, but...
You know,
like,
why? He probably hung out
I want to believe
Corey
that
King.
He had, like, a heart attack in the middle of a massive gangbang.
He was surfing a shark into a gangbang?
Like, you don't want to think it's something not honorable, like he gets hit by a car or something like that?
Like he was doing two girls at one time, and he reaches his hand under to grab a condom, but he gets a grenade instead, and he's like, oh, shit, bro, and then everybody...
He's just got the ring around his finger, like, what is this?
Richie, what did you do?
Yeah, he holds it up like Gary Oldman at the end of The Professional. Oh, shit. And then it just blows up.
R.I.P. Richie Z.
Or maybe he's the dad from that bro's letter.
Maybe Richie C went on to great things.
Yeah. He's keeping up the Richie C tradition. Richie C Jr., Richie C the third.
Chad C.
I always liked how Ali G used to refer to his mate Ricky C.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I always thought that was very funny.
He had a lot of funny stuff.
Ricky C had a 9-incher.
Mate Ricky C.
Yeah, me mate Ricky C. He's got like a 9-incher.
All right. Bernsie.
I think Ricky C also stuck his cell phone up his girlfriend's pussy and then punched her and called his non.
Oh. It was a real bummer that Ollie G movie was super scripted the way it was. Bummer.
Yeah.
Bernsie, what else is going on in Florida?
Let's see. It's been pretty tame ever since all that latest bad stuff went down.
But this morning?
I don't know. Did something happen this morning?
It's Florida. I assume so.
Oh, well, I got to think that, you know, we're going to lay low for a little bit, and then we're really going to work on something good to close out the year.
Like a big murder riot or something?
Like something crazy. Like, I mean, the past stuff, like, you know, you look at the Casey Anthony, yawn, whatever. She's apparently pregnant again, but...
Mm-hmm. Ooh, fun. Oh, wow. That's a bad idea.
You know who did it? Richie C.
She's a pretty hot slam piece, though, so...
Richie C's such a bro.
No, there was the big rumor that Casey Anthony was dating George Zimmerman, and that would have been, like, the greatest news story ever from Florida.
Florida just implodes on itself.
They just murder babies and murder other people standing their ground.
Like he gets her pregnant and she gives birth to the kid and he shouts, "Stand your ground," and kills the baby.
Full circle. The circle of death. Savannah.
Oh, that's awful.
That's where you live.
It is. It's where I choose to live.
I'm really so bummed about No Lion Tacos. I'm still, like, I can't sleep about that.
You can't sleep about it. I didn't even get to eat it, man.
Yeah. Wait, so Lion Tacos were a thing for a while?
Yeah, Lion. What else was it? It was.
They were like $200 though.
No, it was like $20.
So you can it was like six. It was like $60 for one, or no, it was like $70 for two Lion Tacos.
You could eat. So they were made with actual lion.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
I mean,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Then it got shut down. What else was there, Bernsey?
They had ostrich, beaver, camel.
You got to go lion.
Yeah, always.
Oh, yeah, lion. Lion was the best one. I mean, they had bunny. Who's gonna eat a bunny taco?
Smeagol.
I've eaten rabbit before.
Yeah, I've eaten rabbit, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to eat a rabbit when I can eat a lion.
Yeah, they're not that great anyway. They're stringy and.
What about lion?
They're stringy and fuzzy. Did anyone get the fuzz all up in
your... No, we sent Bernsey on a mission and they shut it down. I think we actually probably got it shut down.
It was our fault. I received confirmation from the state board on lion meat that it was our fault.
Jeb emailed you?
Yeah.
We're too famous.
Jeb said, Bernsey, it's been shut down.
He was like, bro, you were going to crush those tacos. But then I had to tell my slam piece to shut it down.
I thought Nathan Explosion was the governor of Florida.
No, it's Voldemort.
Oh.
All right, Bernsey, I got to get Laramie on the horn.
Oh, yeah. Well, great. He's your favorite Florida guy, isn't he?
I mean, he's one of them. He's, you know, he's in the top two. Somewhere.
By the way, I'm looking at a story right now about a Florida man who survived a lightning strike and is now recovering from a shark bite.
Man.
That's the unluckiest motherfucker in the world.
That's the most Florida motherfucker in the world.
Is his name Richie C?
And while he got and went and while he was being attacked by the shark, he got Casey Anthony pregnant.
I really hope
Richie
has,
C gave him chlamydia.
I hope he has two necklaces, one with a lightning bolt and one with a shark tooth, because you know, if you didn't, you're really missing an opportunity. Because
then he'd be kicked out of his gang in Florida if he didn't.
Here's a little secret. Every person who lives in Florida has to own a shark tooth necklace.
If it gets taken from you, then you get kicked out of the state immediately.
It has your name and title on it, like dog tags.
Dude, don't take my shark tooth, bro.
Yeah. All right, Bernsey. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I love you guys.
Bye,
Bernsey. That was fun.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Now we got Laramie.
Your whoops warmed up? Yeah. You got to get your whoop pipes.
Yeah.
Warm up those whoop pipes.
Whoop, whoop,
whoop. Whoop.
You warm up those whoop pipes.
Do they do anything else besides whoop whooping?
No, that's all. I think that's mostly what they say.
Drugs. They say ninja.
Yeah, they say my ninja. Hey, they say family a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Big into family.
Yeah. Hey, when you hear your family, it's like the Olive Garden.
Similar.
Yeah. It's you know, instead of endless breadsticks, it's just
Fago.
Endless Fago and chlamydia.
Laramie?
Hi.
Not only do I barely know what Fago is, I've definitely never seen it.
It's a Midwest soda.
Yeah, there's a place in San Francisco that sells it. It's a little window in Soma that does really good fried chicken, and then they also do Fago.
Weird.
Farmer Brown's Kitchen.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can get Fago there.
I really want to eat fried chicken.
Tastes like every other soda.
Pretty much if you ever bring up fried chicken, it's going to make me want to eat fried chicken.
Interesting. What about Popeyes?
Popeyes are pretty good. I don't think it's as much of a hankering inducer as fried chicken, necessarily.
Yeah, you don't live close to the Popeyes anymore.
I know. My shrimp po' boy Jones is just...
I like stuffed my face for dinner last night, and then I realized I needed some groceries, so I walked down to the Safeway, and I was like totally full. I had like eaten dessert and everything, and I was like, ooh, Popeyes. Maybe I could just go get some fried chicken. Maybe
you
I could
smell
get some,
it?
Some chicken strips or something. Man.
You smell it, and it's all over.
Yeah.
I love that Popeyes, too, because like I'd go in there, and there'd just be like some dude just storming around, sort of cursing at people, like some quasi-homeless dude, and then the chick behind the counter would pick up the phone and be like, call the police. She'd be like, yeah, it's Tony again.
He was like, God, I just want my po' boy sandwich.
Yeah.
I didn't go for the record, and I was very proud of myself. Serious willpower.
It takes a lot. Yeah, it takes a lot.
Laramie.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm getting ready.
Yeah? Are you packing all your face paint?
I'm packing thongs and 10-inch dildos.
Double-sided, I hope.
I don't know what you guys are into, but...
I mean, you can't go 10 inches one-sided. That's like, I mean...
It's, you know what that is? It's
that's kind of one of those your eyes are bigger than your stomach sort of
thing. That's a tease.
I am bringing a pillow, I will tell you that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to bring
I feel like there's not going to be any pillows.
A dental dam is just saran wrap.
Or yeah, but it's like better than saran wrap from what I've heard. I don't know. I've heard it's thinner.
Wait, there's a thing like you buy. There's a thing you buy. I
thought. Oh yeah, you buy dental dams.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
So what the fuck? Have you ever like pulled out a sheet of plastic and like put it over a girl's crotch and like, hey, I want to please you now?
I think this will be my first time.
I usually put that over their face.
Yeah right. I stuff it down their windpipe.
What is that wrong?
Yeah, so I'm doing it weird.
I was standing my ground.
Yeah, I'm just.
Is that Matt Lieb?
That is.
Matt, are we going to be best friends? Because I can tell you that Vince and Ben are going to be doing each other's nails and hair the whole weekend.
Yeah, well, we're going to be forced to be best friends. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
That's the best kind of best friendship, a forced one.
Yeah. Laramie's convinced that he needs someone to save him from me.
Have you met you?
Well, what do you think he's going to do?
He chokes people out.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this.
And it doesn't matter if you tap out. It doesn't help you.
Just play dead like I'm like a bear. You either have to bang pots over your head and make yourself appear twice your size or play dead. It's too many
options. Biggest worry is not the juggalos or the gang of the juggalos or drugs or prostitutes or meth heads. My biggest worry is Vince.
Yeah.
That is my largest concern of the weekend.
That's the heart of darkness is being in an RV with Vince for 8 hours each way.
I do want to witness Vince get to the point of so drunk where he says complete sentences, but then he's doing word associations and not telling anybody.
And his pants are off.
Yeah, and his pants are off. Like, I've never seen you at that point, and I do want to just like have you be
I'm sort of like, I definitely feel like I need to contain my alcoholism while I'm on camera.
It's a slippery slope, my friend.
It really is. It's a slippery slope to Blackout Town, and
we call that Vince Scatman Vince.
Yeah, it really is. I really do turn into strangely non-slurring Scatman. Made a coherent sentence out of completely random words,
and then all of a sudden, plant life is not safe.
Yeah, no, I hate plants.
If you are a tree, you will get messed up.
Yeah,
Laramie
will get climbed and then have branches torn off you.
That's some true shit right there.
I like to dominate a tree.
I'm excited. That's going to be great. I've not seen this one.
We got this voicemail. It sounds kind of familiar. I don't know.
All right, let's hear it.
Hey, podcast. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Quick question. If at the gathering, Vince is banging out some meth head, but the RV's not a rockin' because of his smooth, sultry love stylings, are we allowed to go in? If we have to brush our teeth. Thanks. Brought on.
Are we?
That sounded like a chuck.
I like how the Google voice translated that last part to thanks products.
Are we allowed to go in?
I haven't been reading the Google translated versions of our voicemails. They're usually pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Well, that's Vince. As long as it's not rocking.
Right, because you're so smooth.
He is well, and she's already been choked out.
Well, here's my lovemaking style. It's probably not going to last very long.
Uh-huh. He gets low to the ground like a cat.
That's the main tenet of my lovemaking style.
It's quick.
That's good. Pad level. Low man wins.
Very.
But you'll be so drunk, you'll last forever.
Oh, no. That doesn't happen to me.
Oh, good, good.
I'm not putting my dick in anything. It's all dental dams all day. If I could go down on 10 clowns.
It's all chloroform and plastic bags.
Yeah, literally getting down with some clowns.
Yeah, I want to go down with some clowns till I'm dead in the ground. I
go down to clown town.
Yeah, serious. But only with a dental dam.
Well, hopefully the Walmart Mega Superstore has a... I don't know that
they have a whole dental dam section.
Honestly,
lowest prices. They're dropping prices every day. They're dropping prices on dental dams.
I would think that they don't have any protection.
Yeah.
True or false? This event has the highest plus minus of anything you've ever done.
Oh, the risk reward factor is huge.
It's off the charts. It could end up Vince hanging from a tree, or you know, Academy Award
being hung from a tree.
Yeah really, exactly. Hung from a tree, hanging from a tree.
It could be us locked in the RV burning down.
Yeah.
or
winning the Texas Hold'em tournament, cashing in.
So the transcript of Laramie's email. His voicemail, or whoever that was, whoever that masked man's voicemail was. I don't want to, you know.
First time caller.
Yeah, first time caller. If I can ask want, I'm looking for some caller quick question. It is at the gathering. This is dying out. Some. They said, but the Arby's not. A rocking. Because of this mood to talk to you. Love silence. All right, love you, and I can brush receipt. Thanks, products.
Now, love silence is true.
Is that how you talk when you're drunk?
That's how Vince talks when he's drunk.
So one of the talk to you.
One of the drunkest times I've ever seen Vince was on his 30th birthday, and I feel like this sums it all up perfectly.
Was that at the Mint?
It was at the Mint, and I remember we were like hanging out, and I lost track of Vince, and because I was kind of babysitting him because he was very drunk, and I'm like, hey, what happened to Vince? And someone goes, he's outside jumping in puddles.
He was splashing in puddles and singing whatever song had just been on the karaoke stage, yelling it and just splashing, but not just stomping in it, doing like a sort of side wind, like a semi windmill, like basically kicking it like a soccer ball forward and then kicking it like a soccer ball backward.
Like a pendulum.
Yeah, yes. Yes, it was the pit and the pendulum in the puddle.
You need like a live action Where the Wild Things Are.
It was very Where the Wild Things Are-esque.
God, I wish I remember what song you were singing, but
I wish, by the way, that that Brett was coming and Brendan both.
Sorry,
but they are like all responsible now. Is that what's going on?
Yeah,
they're like, we're adults.
Brett's not even that far away. He's like a 2-hour flight.
Yeah,
closer than we are.
Yeah,
You guys packing t-shirts?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking.
It'll be t-shirts, and it might be some shirts with no sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
I'm packing a couple vintage Recipe 4 Locos for a couple.
Oh, I got to remember to bring that. I hope they don't confiscate it or something,
though. If anybody recognizes us, they're getting those.
I looked through the rules and regulations.
Outside food is not one of them?
No, they encourage that. Because, yeah, right. They don't want people dying.
Yeah, first rule, don't die, because we don't have insurance.
But just no glass. Yeah. So, Vince, no bullet rye for you.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
Maybe a good thing for you. Bad thing for us. Good thing for us.
No, it's a good thing for everybody.
Bad thing for the viewer.
Right.
Bad thing for the progressive poetry movement.
Mm. Yeah. Just going to set it back. Yeah.
Bob Dylan 2.0.
I write retro futurist percussive poetry. People don't give Youth and Revolt enough credit. That was a good movie.
I liked it.
I liked Youth and Revolt. Michael Cera?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, except for the part with the car where they rebuilt it in the house. I thought that was stupid, but everything else was pretty good.
I thought that was funny. I just thought it was a little too cutesy. I wanted it to be a little bit more, I don't know.
But his, I don't dark. Know. All of his, it was very like, it was very much a writer movie. Like all of his,
yes.
You know, like everything. Yeah.
I interviewed the novel writer.
Uh-huh.
And he was a really weird dude.
Really?
So I liked that part.
I like Miguel Arteta, the director. He's a good guy. I don't know.
I didn't meet him. I just met Michael Cera, and the book's actually really good. I like the book.
He directed Cedar Rapids also.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I like that also.
That's my jam.
Both of those movies are movies that I like that like no one has seen.
Did you guys know that Miguel Arteta is Spanish for Michael Titty?
No, it's Michael our tits.
Oh.
Michael Titty is
Arteta.
Oh, Michael Titty?
Don't ask what Vinny Del Negro means, because you don't want to.
Also, I want to know, is Ben paying for stuff from the Kickstarter thing, or did he already blow that all on muscle tees?
Oh, you have no idea how many.
He's wearing a cut-off hoodie right now, which is the funny part.
Damn it.
He looks like fucking Bill Belichick.
Yeah. He's like a shirtless Bill Belichick, all in, but matching, oddly.
Well, Bill Belichick's matching.
That's true.
Yeah, it's not like he was wearing red.
Yeah, but he's at a sports game. You're in a living room.
I'm just trying to be comfortable.
Okay. I'm only comfortable if the colors are the same on my top and on my bottom.
Is it? It's not allowed.
You look like you're in the Bloods for sure. You're all matching in red.
You know, you never know.
Yeah, are there like colors we're not supposed to wear or something too? Like I felt really
because they are a gang, right? The Juggalos are a gang. So
I mean, there's a lot going on there.
They're legally, technically.
FBI has deemed them a gang.
Yeah. And so is California, the state of California, and a couple of other states.
I mean, I bet you guys are technically a gang.
Oh, we are. We're registered, actually.
So there you go.
We're at the Northern California Gang Union.
Muscle to you guys.
Pay your dues.
You can see us walking down the street, snapping in tandem, all in time.
So Laramie, you didn't see Lovelace?
Nah. I saw the original.
You didn't see Elysium? Well, yeah.
Nah.
Jeez.
What have you been doing? I saw
We're the Millers.
Oh, did you? Was that any good?
Oh, you A++.
Is it? I mean, the previews look kind of all right. I don't know.
No, it's shitty.
Really?
It does that. It makes me so mad. It does that thing where it's like, oh, this is a movie with heart for the last 30 minutes. And you're like, why? It's about a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Do they all like fall in love and have a big gangbang?
They all become a big, happy family. Ugh. Yeah.
See, I picked that as the bomb pick when we were... I didn't know anything about it other than that it was a R-rated comedy starring Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston?
And I was like, okay, well, that is a surefire bomb pick. But then now it's like tracking super well. It's probably going to make money.
Damn
it. Did I win?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I still have Planes left. If Planes does okay, I have a chance.
Yeah.
How much okay?
I think it's got to do like 60, which is a stretch.
Yeah, you're out of gas, buddy.
But there haven't been a lot of family movies this summer.
There have been, actually.
Damn it.
Despicable Me, Monsters University, Turbo, Smurfs 2.
I heard Turbo was awful.
I like Turbo.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But just, I like Formula One.
Just the idea that you're like, oh, we're going to make a movie. So Pixar did a rat that cooks. We're going to do a snail that drives race cars. Or that is a race car.
You get that, though? The snails are slow.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like a whole fish out of water, opposites attract.
Do you see
why
that would be hard for him?
I do. I see how that he would, you know, it'd cause strife in his family. Like, he wants to be fast, and they're like, nah, man, just snail it up.
If you snailed it, if you know one thing about me is that, you know, I like open wheel racing.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Turbo focuses exclusively on open wheel racing.
Okay.
Positive.
Snails don't got wheels, man.
They were like, hey, he who snailed it dealt it.
Also, watch out for that salt over there. Ooh, do they have salt on the track?
They have crows. And those are pretty bad, too. Ooh.
I saw Monsters U. I liked it.
Pixar
usually does a pretty good job.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Monsters, I guess it is.
I did not see it. But
so Planes isn't Pixar, though.
No, that's Disney.
Right.
Yeah.
Stealing from Pixar.
But Cars is
I don't think Pixar. There is Pixar anymore.
No, I agree. They're done.
They're done. It's Disney Pixar now. Is Disney. It's all Disney now.
What?
Well, Pixar, Disney, Marvel, ABC, ESPN. I think that's it, right?
It's all the same, man.
Oh, Lucas. That's LucasArts, yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Well, but they still, I mean, Pixar Animation Studios still exists.
Correct.
Yeah, but they like mixed all the talent. So Disney directors are working for Pixar and Pixar directors are working for Disney. So there's no like culture anymore.
A lot of pivoting cross synergy.
There you go.
Yeah.
They saw this white space adjacency and they mapped it and then they pivoted towards that white space. They filled it in.
So what does that mean? Does it mean like Toy Story 3 was the last Pixar movie?
Yeah. So someone opened the kimono and then they just dove. They pivoted right into it.
How can we be a disruptive force?
Right, right.
Remember, you know? So remember that crappy email with all the buzzwords? I read it like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I still use that email to train salespeople on what not to do.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
I still haven't posted the thing about what kind of sales dog are you?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of sales dog are you, Vince?
I think I'm a pit bull. Aggressive.
Yeah.
You want him on your side. You know, if he grabs a bone, you got to take a hose to him. That was the best part of that email where, like, it would start off being stuff about sales, and then by the end, he's just literally just talking about the dog.
Dog
and you're like, I don't even know how to apply this to sales. You're just talking about the dog now.
I think this whole thing kind of fell apart here, buddy.
Yeah. So the thing about the German Shepherd, you know, he's loyal to a fault.
Good police dog.
Good, you know, he's good at rounding up clients. And also, you know,
Jews.
He's got hip dysplasia problems. And you're like, hold on.
You lost me at the hip dysplasia. Yeah.
Bad joints. Uh-huh. Don't live that long.
Yeah, don't live that long. Coarse fur. Really coarse fur. They kind of shedders.
Big appetites.
They love water, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Watch out for the bloat.
That would be a good character, like the guy who's got a self-help book with a full of metaphors that just fall apart halfway through.
Matt Lieb has to leave.
I gotta take off.
Matt Lieb has to leave.
I gotta leave right now.
He's gotta go get his yarmulke.
Matt,
embroidered with the hatchet man.
Okay. Matt Lieb, yes. Start thinking up handshakes for us, man.
Definitely, definitely. All you right. Start going stockpiling dental dams for the both of us.
Yeah, buddy.
But we're gonna eat so much pussy.
By the way, I have to point out that Matt Lieb came over and he's like, "Hey, man, do you have teeth on DVD?" And I was like, oddly enough, I do have teeth on DVD.
Yeah, which is perfect because I promised someone who I'm going to hang out with that we would watch the movie Teeth.
What would you have done if I didn't have teeth?
I would have just watched something else. But I went to one rental store and they didn't have it. Then I went to Rasputin and they didn't have it. And I was like,
how many rental stores are left in San Francisco?
Not very many. I went to both of them.
This is easily the most effort anyone has ever put into trying to find teeth because it's not.
They definitely
worth...
reported you to some sort of authority. Yeah.
It is not. It is not a movie worth going to multiple stores for.
And let me get this straight. You walk into a video store and wanted teeth.
Yeah, it was both at the same time. They did look at me weird. And it was when I asked you, I was like, half of me, I was like, might as well just ask Vince. You know, maybe he's got a burned copy somewhere on a spindle.
I get like one DVD, random DVD sent to me a month, you know, that they can't get rid of.
And one,
just
of, them
one of them was teeth.
That is so great.
Yeah. That's the girl with teeth on her vagina.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Kismet. Let's hope the dental dam covers those up.
All right, guys. Hey, like what time am I? I'm going to be here at like 1:45 tomorrow.
All right.
Is that good?
That's good.
All right, guys.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You and I in a little RV going to the Juggalo and the Gathering.
Is that a song?
Beautiful.
Jack and Spence and his Jacob Don.
It was called 99 Whoop Balloons.
Whoop, whoop.
Couldn't be 99.
99 Juggalos go by.
Couldn't be 99. Can we put ninjas in there somewhere?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Gotta get some ninjas.
Everyone's a super ninja. Everyone's a violent J.
That's good. I like that. Laramie, what's going on up in the Great White North?
Still pretty white.
That's it? I can't believe you skipped out on movie screenings.
Well, it's been kind of a busy week as I prepare to really just enter Juggalo Nation.
What are you doing to prepare?
Oh, I've been doing squats. A lot of squats. Been living on pretty much an exclusively quinoa diet.
Quinoa and kale?
Those guys love quinoa, as far as I know.
Yeah, there's a big quinoa station there.
I can't wait. I'm going to eat it up.
I did some research today, more than I had done before, and I wasn't as familiar with Insane Clown Posse's spirituality.
Oh, yeah. It's legit.
The heaven.
You know that when a fight starts, we're supposed to chant family, right, to stop it?
Is that what happens? So when I'm getting
family,
my
family, fam.
When I'm getting my face kicked in, you just yell family and then I'm good?
Yep, you're back. You're back in the game.
Okay, good. Because there's definitely a part of me where sometimes I think we might get beat up.
Sometimes you feel like you don't have a partner.
Sometimes you don't have a friend.
That's a different band.
Oh, sorry.
Do you know any ICP songs, Laramie, at this point?
I know that Miracles one.
Yeah, that's the one that most people know.
I know the murder. Video. Well, they're all murder ones, but there's one about like Promissory Pete. I know that one.
There's one called like the zombie shuffle or something like that. Or, like,
yeah, is it a dance?
Yeah, it's like a whole dance where he like describes how to do it.
Interesting.
I'm gonna fit in. I mean, I've lived in Redneck South. I've lived in Miami where everyone's high on eight balls. I'll be fine.
You're good. Although a film drunk commenter did point out that Laramie has a very punchable face.
And I've been working on that. I don't know what to do.
You should see a doc. There's a doctor that I know.
He could like give me a big scar or something.
He's got some medication for it.
My face is so punchable.
Laramie, what seems to be the problem?
I keep getting punched in the face.
My face?
There are certain guys that have punchable faces. Though.
It's like, oh, God, you're right. I just want to punch
Florence.
Tyler Florence
is begging for
a
knuckle sandwich.
What about the guy that restores the homes and
Tyler Pennington.
Yeah.
Or Chad Pennington.
No, Ty Pennington.
Chad Pennington's former Dolphins quarterback.
Pennington, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. He's
that guy's.
Well, he's got the highlight. He's got highlights in his hand.
And he's got a soul patch.
Yeah. Soul patch. Ooh. You know. My ultimate. All right. We're going into a topic here.
Okay.
All right. You know, in Fight Club, they have the thing like, who could you fight if you could fight anyone? Like,
oh yeah,
Abraham Lincoln.
Like, if we're talking about, you know, fantasy face punching, in a perfect world, you can punch anyone in the face.
Yeah, well, you've thought about this.
Who would it be?
Yeah,
yeah.
Who would it be?
Mine's Ted Nugent, all the way.
You're in
for like at least 10. Like, I don't want to die without punching Ted Nugent in the face. Like, I really, really want to punch Ted Nugent in the face.
So this has been a lot of thought and effort put into this.
I just, yeah.
Could we arrange this?
I mean, it's one of those things, like, his face is punchable. Like, everything about him is punchable. It's one of those times
when... You think we could kickstart this?
Yeah, could we? I mean, how much do you think Ted Nugent would want to get punched in the face?
By you? I don't know. Probably not that much.
I'm pretty sure I could knock Ted Nugent out. I'm not trying to brag.
Ain't too proud to beg?
I think I could knock him out.
So that's number one for sure. Interesting.
I got Bill O'Reilly, and there's no one even close to second, because Bill O'Reilly conducts himself in a way. There is absolutely no way he's ever gotten his ass kicked in his entire life. If you've ever gotten your ass kicked, you just don't act like that. If you've ever had your ass kicked in your entire life, he's just never had his ass kicked, and I would gladly do it. Because especially because he would cry. He would cry real tears, which would just be the most satisfying thing in the world. And then B, he would try to ascribe some political meaning to it, which would just be so great to see, like, what exactly he's trying to, you know, like, you know, how he's trying to justify it in any other way than he's just a fucking big blubbering vagina. And that's the only reason.
A lot of thought been put into it. I didn't realize you guys had really been thinking about punching someone so bad.
You would cry. I would love watching him sob, just big baby tears, and he'd try to talk, and he'd probably go, what?
Yeah, so it'd have to be a surprise. It couldn't be like in the context of a boxing match or anything. Like, it'd have to be like he's on the street, and you walk up, crack him one, and then run off into the night.
With your ninja gear.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just, you know.
Or your regular clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, maybe we could get Nugent. Maybe Nugent will be at the gathering.
I doubt that. I mean, I looked at the list.
Maybe as a visitor.
Did you have the PDF? Did you want to go over what we might be doing?
Well,
wait, hold on. Before we get to that, I didn't let you guys have a chance.
Oh, to who I would punch? Those are two really good options. Nugent.
I've thought a lot about this, and Nugent is by far.
I mean, there's no one that, like, Nugent's would definitely up there. Bill O'Reilly probably for me would be a leader above that. You know, Glenn Beck would have to be on the list. You know, Rush Limbaugh.
You know, we can get out of the pundit sphere.
I know, but they just, like, those are the people that annoy me the most.
Okay.
So Pete Carroll, I wouldn't mind punching Pete Carroll.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
That'd be kind of
sad. Stan Van Gundy.
There's probably some actors, if I thought about it a little bit more, that bother me.
Claire Danes.
Yeah, offensive. She's got it coming to her. Actually, that blonde guy from Blue Mountain State.
Yeah.
That guy could hardcore use a punch.
How about Armie Hammer? He's shooting up the ranks after this morning.
Okay, I gotta play the clip now.
Wait, what happened?
I gotta play the clip now.
I'm not even aware of what is going on.
It's got a lot of tabs open.
I do not. There's two.
So many tabs. Johnny said at the premiere that he felt that some of the US-based critics kind of had it in for the movie kind of before they even kind of saw it. But yeah. I was wondering kind of if you had an opinion about that.
Oh, I have a delightful opinion about that. That she's going to get mad at me for sharing. But I'll tell you, this is the deal with American critics.
He's speaking directly to you, Vince.
They've been gunning for our movie since it was shut down the first time. And I think that's probably when most of the critics wrote their initial reviews.
I think the reviews were probably written when they heard that Gore and Jerry and I were going to do the Lone Ranger. I think they started their opinion.
Can you pause real quick? You know. Keep in mind that Johnny Depp is positioned right next to the poster that has a fucking him with his face painted with a fucking dead crow on his head. You know, I really just think that the critics have that for us. All right, proceed.
Sorry, I'm fixing the volume.
Now, when you started a movie...
Yeah, that guy has a punchable voice.
Is that the guy that interviewed Bruce Willis? Just sounds like him.
I didn't have any expectations of that. I never do. Why would I?
I think that they were reviewing the budget, not reviewing the movie. The audience doesn't care what the budget is. They pay the same amount to see.
Ooh, that's another good one. I would love to punch Jerry Bruckheimer.
Why are they so protective of the Lone Ranger, and why is Johnny Depp so high?
That's a good question, because, like, are they just put in an untenable position where
they have to protect it because it's this big, gigantic movie?
Yeah, they have
movie?
To go out to Europe and be like, every question is like, so everybody in the world hates your stupid movie. What do you think about that?
So not one person enjoyed it. We interviewed every human that saw it. No one liked it. Well, the thing is, they judged it before they saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they saw it, and then they still judged it, and yeah. I don't appreciate that.
And then my favorite part was where Armie Hammer's like, they tried to do it with World War Z, but then it came out, and they gave it kind of good reviews, but then they totally did it with our movie. And it's like, hey, Captain Scientist, what do you think the difference between those two things was?
Also, like, they judged it before they saw it. Guess what I did? I did what every other fucking discerning consumer did, and I watched the trailers, and I said, that looks like a gigantic piece of shit, yeah. And I did not watch it.
You know what I don't want to do? Spend 149 fucking minutes watching that.
Oh, is it bad?
Man. Yeah, you saw it. Now, I didn't see it because, like, honestly, I didn't,
you
see,
didn't
it.
See it.
I didn't see God. It out of respect for them, because I've hated every single Jerry Bruckheimer movie since Don Simpson died in, like, 95. And, like not even,
like,
not even, like, mild
your
hate.
Ball sack,
like,
and just squeezing.
Yeah, I really hate Jerry Bruckheimer on a very deep level. So I knew I was going to hate the movie. I don't like anything that he does.
It's even more than being offensive. It's just so fucking boring. It's so boring. Ugh. So you can see it.
I don't really like Gore Verbinski either.
It's like 2.5 hours of The Lone Ranger?
Yes.
Sounds terrible.
It really is, but you're judging it over there before you even...
I'm just an American critic.
Yeah,
judge.
You're reviewing the... let's see what he says.
The movie, whether it costs $1 or $20 million, so I don't think that matters.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be happening kind of... I don't know where it's happening more and more. It definitely feels like that now, mm-hmm. that the kind of the backstory of a movie's production,
right.
seems to become more and more of the... It kind of...
Yeah, you know...
It does. I didn't mention the budget at all. The movie fucking sucks if it costs $10 to make.
Well, and the reality is, you spend a quintillion dollars, we as an audience are hoping for something that's not a gigantic stinking turd.
Well, you're marketing it as something big yourself. Like, that's the problem. You're saying this is a huge Western summer movie. Come out and see the spectacle. That's what you're saying.
And they also, I feel like they don't necessarily, when it is a big budget movie, I feel like that's sort of part of it.
The only way this movie would have been good is if it had been made by sixth graders and they delivered this product that came out. You'd be like, you know what? That's pretty damn good,
good
for
job,
a sixth grader.
Sixth graders.
Well, this guy's 12.
My point
really
is
really good camera work.
When they spend a quintillion, you know, when they spend $200 million, I feel like, look, we spent a ton of money. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be CGI. There's going to be, you know, Indians flying around on Lone Ranger's back, like whatever. And
it's a Wendigo.
And then it's just a gigantic stinking poop. And they're like, well, the money shouldn't be an issue, even though we all got paid $15 million.
Yeah, exactly. Even though we're professionals and are supposed to be good at our jobs, please don't judge us that way.
I don't care about the budget. Honestly, look, like Pacific Rim cost $200 million, and people were doing every sort of mental gymnastic possible to you know,
yep.
allow the fact to claim that was good somehow when it
well,
wasn't.
Well, and World War Z isn't exactly good, but it sure as hell better than Lone Ranger. Like,
wait,
good
so,
gracious.
So I want to hear them explain the rest of this.
Okay.
This is people, I guess, against
sure.
projects.
Sure, absolutely. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the movie's really a terrific movie. It's a great epic film. It's got a lot of humor and a lot of fun. It's one of those movies that whatever critics missed at this time, we'll review it in a few years and see that they
the expectation.
Laramie, how excited are you to rewatch it in three
yeah,
years from today?
The only way I'm reviewing that is if I'm a fucking hostage. No way.
No way anyone is remembering this movie, like... 2 weeks from now, no one is going to remember that this movie ever existed.
Next summer, they're going to be, you know, everyone's going to say, Lone Ranger, when did that come out?
There was a Lone Ranger movie?
Yeah. There's really two ways Hammer could have gone about this, because this did sink his career like a stone. I give him that. It was his chance to be a leading man, and they basically pooped on his face. The two ways he could have gone about this were, one, say, well, people are going to think what they think, you know, the high ground, and two, be like, no, this is a terrible movie. You should see it to see how bad Hollywood has gotten. That's the other way.
Well,
good.
I don't think they're allowed to say
you
that.
You can't.
Yeah.
Dude, Shia LaBeouf was like, tried to be as diplomatic as possible and still said, like, all right, you know, the Indy 4 wasn't great. You know, I take some responsibility for that. And everybody just shit on him. And I was like, really? That guy can't admit that Indy 4 was bad because it was terrible. Like, you should be able to admit that it's not a great movie.
It's not a good sign when they're insanely defensive.
If someone asks you why no one liked your movie, bad start.
Yeah. That's what I wonder, because in this video, I watch Armie Hammer and I'm like, you are the biggest douchebag ever. But then I'm like, well, maybe he's just put in this completely impossible situation where he has to defend this movie that's bad or else get shit on himself.
He's in a crappy situation. He got paid $10 million or whatever.
Yeah.
And worked on this movie for a while, and it's been a year of his life. And then it came out, and he's like, God damn it. That's what we made? That's what we worked on? Are you guys fucking kidding me?
And I'm sure a movie like that, you know, from an actor reading the script, and not, I mean, I don't think it was, my guess is that it wasn't good at any stage of development, but
there's
probably, from him reading the script for the first time and actually seeing a finished product, there's probably a pretty big disconnect, would be my guess. Not having seen the movie, but just knowing
for sure
how many fucking people are involved.
Like, Brendan, so they come to you and they say, Brendan, we're redoing The Lone Ranger, and we want you to be the Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you're like, oh, sounds good.
I saw myself as more of a Tonto.
I'll put it this
way. Thank you for my $10 million.
As someone who, you know, follow, I'm sure most of the people in the movie industry sort of follow it to someone. If they were like, all right, we're going to do Disney The Lone Ranger with Jerry Bruckheimer, in my mind I'm thinking, okay, you know, art-wise, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be a fucking horrible movie. But then, you know, the part of your brain that's like, well, what if it turns out like Pirates of the Caribbean, where it's never been a good movie, but Johnny Depp got paid like a couple million, and he's probably made like $200 million off the series so far, like easily. And, you know,
you would watch all the Pirates way before this. Way before.
I'm just saying, like, that's like you're definitely selling out if you're.
It could have been a good movie. Like, there's no reason you can't make a good movie from whatever premise. Yeah. Right.
You got your fingers crossed that it might not be terrible. Like, you got your fingers crossed that it's going to be Pirates 1 and not Pirates 4. Well, but
again, that's when, as fans or as filmgoers, we know that they spent so much money and it just turned out to be nothing. And we want to watch a good movie, and for them to blame, you know, critics or whoever, that, you know, that's why people didn't like it. It's like, how about maybe it's a giant steaming turd?
Yeah. But take a little responsibility.
I do think that he's in a shitty situation where
it's that crazy thing where 8 people tell you you've done something wrong and you're like, I don't think I did. No, dude, if that many people, that percentage of people, like, you did, just by definition, have fucked up.
But the problem is he's still out promoting it essentially as an employee. Of this.
Hey, I hate to break this to you, but I have to go.
Oh, everyone.
Does that make you mad? I still have to pack. I still have a lot to do.
You have to go? You're bailing on us?
Stuff.
All right, Laramie. Well, we will see you tomorrow.
I apologize.
Which is weird.
I just love you guys all so much.
When I get on that flight, I'm gonna be pitted, sweating.
Oh, it's been almost a year since I saw you in the flesh, and I don't know if I can control my boner.
Dude, I look good now.
Yeah,
you saw him like last November.
Yeah, that's almost August. That's almost a year ago.
Oh, geez.
Ben knows what I look like now. I look fucking hot.
I saw him a couple weeks ago.
Did he fix his hair? He had bad hair before.
He's got some crazy hair. Laramie, was your hair similar to when I saw you?
It's even worse, dude.
Don't make fun of my beard. I have a beard now.
Oh, I like that about you, Mountain Man.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways, kids, see you soon.
No,
Brendan, sorry I'm not seeing you. Maybe I'll come out to San Francisco and just spend some time with you and the missus.
That would be fantastic.
Okay.
Bye, Laramie.
Bye.
So I want to hear the rest of
this
video.
Now I was going to play more of it. Where'd he go? Oh, there he goes.
You know, I mean, to round it out as a big group, the American press, the journalists or whatever, I think the reviews were written 7-8 months probably before we... even, you know, before we ever released the film.
Yeah. And if you go back and read a lot of the negative reviews, most of them don't actually have anything to do with the content of the movie, but more what's behind it. And it's gotten to an unfortunate place with American critics where if you're not as smart as Plato, you're stupid. And that seems like a very sad way to have to...
Is that these people fucking high? Like,
well, first of all,
like, Pacific Rim is like over 70% or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
But
and
who?
It's not even, like, it's meant to be for like 3-year-olds.
They honestly, I don't know how honest they're being or if they're just sort of trying to
That sounded like, I mean, that's, and maybe he's taking the devil's advocate position, but he's taking it pretty hard.
Well,
in that one.
Who the fuck is writing actual reviews a year before a movie comes out? One, and two, when did Johnny Depp's voice turn into, like, what is, I don't even know what that is. Brendan, what
he
is that?
He smokes like weird artisan cigarettes. So I think he's kind of...
I've been smoking VDs for like the last 7 years.
Like what? Strange French cigarettes.
I got these from Hunter S. Thompson's tomb. They're really like what? Good.
It's like him and Madonna have changed their own voice since they've gotten rich and famous.
Like, I'm not one to defend film critics because, look, I've go to screenings with film critics. By and large, they're terrible people that you would not want to hang out
I'm
with.
I'm not defending them either.
But this idea that... A, film critics have any power over the box office. Pretty ridiculous. And B, like, are going to write a bad review of something because of well, 6 months
this whole,
ago?
This whole,
like,
big no. budget. This whole idea of this...
The best gift that you could give a critic for The Lone Ranger is low expectations. And they gave them that in spades, and they still thought it sucked.
Well, this... I could never get behind this conspiracy... Right, that this the entire film critic world has conspired to make sure this movie fails.
Yeah,
that's just
film critics all hate each other. There's no conspiracy. I'll tell you what. All right.
Also, not only that, they hate themselves.
Yeah. I was about to say there's a lot of self-loathing.
Oh, total self-loathing. So. But all right, I will tell you two areas where film critics frequently get it wrong because of the type of people they are. Anything that's a silly comedy, don't trust any critic for because. Comedy is very subjective, and anything that's like deliberately dumb, like you can't really. If it's dumb on purpose, all critics are going to be like, "Oh, it's dumb," and you're like, "Yeah, no shit, man. It's like supposed to be."
Yeah, I'm sure Anchorman didn't test well with the critics.
Anchorman didn't. I've said it before. I liked Your Highness. I thought it was funny. You know, Freddie got fingered really bad, but I love it because it's so dumb.
So stupid. Daddy,
it's
so would you dumb. Like some sausage?
It's meant to be dumb. Like that's the whole point of that movie. It's.
I mean,
and then the
who could beat. I'm a backwards man. Yeah. I'm going backwards.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
But when he has a backwards suit on, he says, I'm a backwards man. I go backwards as fast as I can.
I still, like...
I'm the backwards man. I'm the backwards man.
And then the beaver was yelling backwards. At the other beaver.
I still quite often, I mean, once a week, or maybe once every 2 weeks, we'll say, we can live like kings!
Yeah. I used to pull out my wallet and pretend it was a cell phone and be like, you're fucking fired, Bob.
Right.
You're fucking fired.
50 million Deutschmarks.
Yeah. That's a, you know, that's an enjoyable movie. That's an area where you can't expect any critic to get that movie right. Cause you know, it's kind of terrible, but it is what it is. And then, the other type of movie is, like I just saw Elysium and the same with District 9. Critics are not going to be, that kind of a movie because it sort of sets them up to make them feel like it's a message movie. Like, you know, District 9 is sort of, you know, it hints at being an allegory,
right?
But it's not really an allegory. It's like giving you just enough to chew on to make a really fun.
Well, it's also like, South African. So they're like, oh
yeah. So it's like, it's got this air of message movie about it. And Elysium does the same thing where it has like this air of message movie about it, but it's basically just giving you just enough possible allegory to chew on while it creates like a really like interesting action movie. But every critic is going to see that like, oh, they totally failed at this allegory. You know, they abandoned it halfway through.
Was District 9 not well received by the American critics that are ruining film?
I mean, it is. I think it had a lot of people that, you know, I think it had its vocal critics and vocal proponents or whatever.
As far as silly movies go, in high school I played football with this guy who I always thought was kind of a dick, but he said this one thing that stuck with me for the rest of my life since then, which was, you know, I just don't think I could really be friends with someone who didn't think The Naked Gun was funny. And
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's pretty correct.
I was... exchanging emails with a lady on online dating site, and I never should have brought up Magic Mike. That was my mistake.
That's your bad. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, like she said at first, I forget what she said, but she's like, oh, that's no one ever brings that up. That's awesome. I was like, oh, awesome. You like it too? That way, I don't have to explain to you what's good about it. And she's like, oh, I hope you're being sarcastic. You are going to have to explain to me what's good about Magic Mike. And I'm just like, well, you know what? Like, I can't explain the self-explanatory to people because...
Yeah,
the majesty of Magic Mike is self-evident.
I enjoyed it immensely.
If I just say Matthew McConaughey mirror scene and you're not like on board, then I don't know what to tell you. Like
must have walked out before the Ladies of Tampa song.
Clearly,
I mean it's you know it wasn't the best movie I've ever seen in my life, but it was just so enjoyable, and it weirdly felt like C-Tate's crushed.
Yeah, well that was the other thing she brought up. She's like. Yeah, McConaughey was great, but not like Channing Tatum and that other guy. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Not the other guy. The other guy was just sort of
yeah, he's whatever. Fine. I'm not going to defend Alex Pettifer, but C. Tates was fantastic in that movie.
C. Tates is another example of a guy who we started out making fun of and then or almost dishonestly liking
uh-huh.
and then grew to earnestly like.
Oh, I could go back to making fun of him.
The Juggalo.
Yeah. Thing. Well, I think it comes down to if you poke fun at the reasons people make fun of you, that's immediately like endearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's made a little tidy little career for himself after saving The Last Dance or whatever he did.
It's the Keanu thing. Like, I don't think anybody thinks that Keanu is like a great actor, but he just seems really nice in person. He's like, oh, you guys making fun of me? All right, cool.
I'll just eat this sandwich again.
Yeah, he's like, he doesn't care.
So, Vince,
you can't dislike a person who's like laughs it off when you make fun of them.
Do you want to hear some of what we're getting into for Friday Saturday?
Yes.
All right. Brendan, let me know what you think the highlights are. So we're going to miss a lot of the Thursday stuff until, well, just an FYI. So this is the gathering. A lot of stuff goes on from 12 midnight till 5 a.m. That's when a lot of the activities go on. So we'll get there.
We're
going
to have to do a lot of sleeping during the day to prepare.
I'm already tired.
So are you?
I'm too old for this shit, Brendan.
Are you downloading?
You're like Danny Glover.
Are you downloading ICP Roots. Albums for us to listen to on the way down there?
I got Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, because I don't necessarily want to pay for it on iTunes if I don't have to.
No, don't do that. That's what Spotify.
I guess I could do a Pandora station.
Both. We'll double down. Well, every night, Brendan, there is Juggalo Night Court.
Whoa. Who gets to play Bull?
Bull. I think actual Bull does.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
what is he doing?
Yeah, exactly.
So Friday from 1 to 2, we got a wet t-shirt contest.
Nice.
From 3 to 4, we got ladies oil wrestling.
Uh-huh.
4 to 6, Flowmaster rap battle.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to that for sure.
5 to 6, we got...
Is this just the sideshow stage?
That was first two are the freak show stage, and then it's the bomb house.
Okay.
And then there's an oddity freak show at the freak show stage.
Oh, well, that, yeah.
And then your boy Jim Norton performs from 12 to 1 a.m. at the seminar
tent. I know a ton of comics, and I haven't found anyone that knows how to get a hold of Jim Norton. So.
Well, get the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I might have to just tweet him like an obsessed fan.
From 12:30 to 2:30, the exotic ladies of wrestling at the wrestling stage. And then from 1:30 to 5 a.m., Juggalo Night Court. Again,
nice.
That's every night. There's a poker tournament as well. And then Saturday, there's the Mad Magician.
Dude, you need to go to the poker tournament. None of those guys are going to have a poker face. Half of them are going to be tripping balls. Half of them are going to get a good hand and go, whoop, whoop.
Laramie wants to enter it, so I think we'll get Laramie in that. The thing is, it's from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every night. And so, if you're in it, you have to do that every night.
I think you guys are underestimating the juggalos at poker. I kind of think that there's got to be some sharks in there.
Some juggalo sharks?
Yeah.
Saturday there'll be some Mad Magician at the Bomb House, the ICP seminar at the seminar tent.
What is that?
How to connect with your inner juggalo.
I think it's sort of they talk about Psychopathic Records and what music they're making.
Juggalo TED Talks. The first one is fucking magnets. How do they work?
Then there's more Ladies of Oil Wrestling. There's Miss Juggalette contest.
Oh, yeah, we're going to that for
whoop,
sure.
Whoop.
Juggalo Championship Wrestling. And then Juggalo Night Courts every night, turns out. a lot of disputes to settle. So that's some of the highlights. I think Mike's looking into a helicopter ride. Don't know.
Holy shit.
Don't know how safe that is.
It's not piloted by a juggalo, is it?
Don't know how safe that is. But let's see. And then we can look forward to that. We did get some emails. You want to read one of these emails?
Sure.
You flagged one of them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hey, I just wonder if there's any squirrels at the Gathering of the Juggalos. I've been going there every day. Yeah, there's a Squirrel Fest at Kentucky.
Okay, which one did you like?
Well, you had flagged one of them.
I didn't read it, but
you flagged advice needed.
All right, I'll read it. I didn't screen it first. That's fine. Hello, Masters of Fraught. I'm at a bit of a life crossroads. I currently live with my girlfriend in Philadelphia, but we're about to move in with her parents in Baltimore. This situation arose from her always wanting to move back to Baltimore after graduation. We both went to school in Philly. And me abruptly getting fired from my most recent job. I have no problem leaving Philly. I'm looking forward to it, actually. Or even moving to Baltimore. Who doesn't love crabs and Natty Bo? It's the moving in with the parents aspect of all this that's giving me pause. We've talked about it and agreed that it will only be for a set amount of time and will give us a great opportunity to save money and get our credit straightened out before I go to law school and we really start our life together. While the financial advantages are hard to argue with, I'm worried about the strain living with her family is going to cause. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. For the record, we are both in our mid-20s and have been dating for 2+ years. Fraud on, Mike Tim.
Well, I mean, I think one thing he's really leaving out there is, what's the relationship with the family? Is the family cool? Is the family meddlesome?
And what's the relationship with the chick? Is he super serious where it's...
He sounds pretty serious.
That's the impression I got.
I'm just asking.
He's pretty serial.
I'm asking the question.
Right, right.
Couple things there. One, I think it's going to be a nightmare. Here's another question. What sort of domicile do they live in? Is this a palatial 19-bedroom estate, or is this a 2-bedroom apartment, which are two very, if it's a tiny place, it's going to be difficult.
You're going to need square footage.
Yeah.
Clearly.
You need like a separate area.
Yeah, like a...
Where like you can fuck
guest
at least.
House.
You need to like be able to fuck without her parents hearing the wall banging.
Yeah, Harvey wall banging. Yeah, there's, as you've seen in Up in the Air where she's talking about... Where she's telling the Vera Farmiga is telling Anna Kendrick, she's like, and he's got to have a good family. You don't think that's important now, but it is important. And that is definitely true. Dating a girl whose family you like is a lot easier than dating one whose family you don't
like.
Yeah,
I mean, it, like Brendan said, it depends on the family. They're cool as shit. It's not that big of a deal. And you can do it for 6 months and save a buttload of cash, and then you're good, and you move out somewhere else.
One of my fiance's best friends lived at her parents with her.
I thought you were going to be like, one of my fiancés of the three I've had.
No. I've only had one so far, but I've got time.
Yeah.
One of my fiance's best friends lived with her parents, and she lived with her now husband with her parents, and they were like complaining about it. I'm like, you live in a fucking mansion and you lived in the guest house that was completely separate. Like, what are you complaining about?
Yeah.
So if that's the situation.
Justin, similar situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally depends on the family and the living situation. Mm-hmm. And maybe reconsider law school.
Yeah.
Enough lawyers.
But it's Baltimore. I don't know. Baltimore's pretty shitty.
I would say reconsider law school. Also, if you don't like her family, make sure she's worth it. That's all. Because some things that seem like a minor red flag maybe are bigger red flag than you're giving them.
But maybe they're cool as shit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, your girlfriend emailed us and we said, "Dump the future non-lawyer."
True. Who knows?
Yeah. Reconsider law school.
Well,
please.
It's just, we got enough lawyers. My first act as
president. We got too many lawyers.
My first act as president is making peeing in the toilet in the men's restroom a felony if there's open urinals.
Okay. Why?
Because they're just peeing all over the seat where I need to go poop later.
No, what if we lift the seat?
If you lift the seat, then you're okay.
Okay, I lift the seat, but if I get a choice between a stall and a toilet, I'm going toilet because then I don't get any splatter back on my pant legs.
You're one of those.
I lift the seat,
misdemeanor.
Though.
Misdemeanor
I
for
lift
you.
Lift the seat.
And then number two, I eliminate overnight. My first day in office, I eliminate 95% of lawyers. They're out of work.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
That's fine.
If you're not my VP, you're at a minimum, you're my head of security.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They should...
You're my head of comedy.
Here's how we fix the lawyer thing. Instead of getting paid by the hour...
Secretary of comedy.
The secretary of ha-ha.
Secretary of laughs.
Instead of getting paid by the hour that they bill... they should get paid by like the thing that they actually accomplish. Like there's got to be an incentive to get court cases done faster instead of slower.
There's a really good article about the demise of big law, and it's in, is the New Republic like a total right wing?
No, I think it's, okay. I think that's what's the one that my buddy works for actually.
Okay, I think it was in the New Republic then.
Yeah.
Because I thought New Republic, but then I was like, wait, no, that's that like hardcore, very anti non-white.
No, paper. I think you're.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking like the National Review.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, New Republic, they had a really good article on the demise of big law, and it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And it actually made, it laid out a lot of reasons why it was sort of this, in a way, it was a bubble, the law profession. Because they'd sort of artificially inflated all the hours they were doing and overstating the job they were doing for these companies. One thing it didn't state in the article that I had found out otherwise was they all the really big law firms had non-competes. So say if you're at some massive company like Procter & Gamble and you're like, hey, we're spending a lot on these lawyers. They're billing us out like a zillion hours. What if we just go see if we can do it cheaper? And you go to another big law firm, they'll be like, no. We can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they all had these like non-competes. So
well, they all are very friendly to each other. I mean, they've created an industry unto themselves.
Right.
That
so when you have that artificial inflation, that's when you have kind of a bubble, and then when a bubble bursts, you have a correction, and it's the whole industry is kind of going through a correction right now, and there is a whole lot of lawyers and not a lot of lawyering jobs.
There's a lot of lawyering though, and like one thing that always sticks with me on my Asia trip was in Vietnam. You want to rent a scooter? You walk up to the dude and you give him $5, and you got a scooter. There's no ID check. There's no paperwork. There's no signature. And I understand that you know in the States it would never do that, but you know here it's 18 forms of ID. You need to read through a 368-page document. You need to go through a 26-point test, fingerprints.
There's a lot of T's and C's.
Yeah, a lot of T's and C's involved in the United States. So anyway, it's like, oh, yeah, you want to rent a scooter? And I had my wallet stolen, so I didn't even have ID. So I'm like, fuck, I won't be able to rent a scooter. I'm fucked. And I'm like, yeah, no, just give me $5. What's the big deal? Here you go. Here's the keys.
Have I didn't fun. Know you got your wallet stolen.
Yeah, first hour in Vietnam.
Oh, brutal.
You got it. If you go to Vietnam, beautiful country, just watch your shit in the big cities.
How did that happen? Pickpocketed?
Yeah, I got pickpocketed while I was sitting down, actually.
Okay.
Jesus.
So there's areas in, this is Ho Chi Minh City / Saigon. So there's a ton of like backpackers area. There's a bunch of people just sitting out on the street on little Asian stools, just drinking cheap-ass beers, 50-cent beers. And there's a lot of local vendors, like kids and all sorts of stuff walking around. So I don't know if it's a kid or some other vendor that pickpocketed me. You know, it wasn't the end of the world. I just got credit cards and my ID stolen. It's a pain in the ass. But, yeah, button that shit up if you're in Vietnam. Because, they'll take stuff. They're not going to beat you up, but they might take a couple things from you.
Keep it locked.
Yeah, keep that shit locked and buttoned. Button it up and button it down. Are you pulling something up right now?
No. I was looking for food. I'm really hungry.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that was a good one.
Yeah,
that was good. We had a bunch. We had Bernsey. We got Matt Lieb. We had Laramie.
And we'll be...
But he lebbed.
He lebbed us.
He had to leave.
He had to leave early.
He had to leave us. Leave
Are
us
you
here.
Still working on like 10:30 sharp? How's that going for you?
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Really nicely.
It's good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Brendan, if anyone else out there, can I spread the word of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if instead of like 9 a.m. sharp, mm-hmm. Brendan, what would you say?
9 a.m. sharp.
And for Brendan, it's working out just peaches.
Yeah. My fiance sharted the other day. It's working great.
She got there at 8:30 sharp.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not against it. I'm on that platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for our guest for coming on, and wish us luck as we go into the heart of Juggalo.
Yeah, we'll be doing a broadcast from there, right?
Yeah, we will. Yeah. That'll be up for the people that bought it, and ooh. Well, you know, ooh. Those are our fans.
That's
those
right.
are real fans.
That's right. Those are the real ones.
And you can still get stuff on broadcast.com, and I'll make sure that's updated. If there is internet, I'm sure Vince will be tweeting or something.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be doing I'll be updating as much as I possibly can.
Hopefully.
Which I don't know how much that's going to be given the internet access.
It's all going to depend on Ninja Wireless out there.
Yeah.
What do you think they have?
I don't know. Psychopathic wireless.
Yeah. But, you know, Godspeed to us. And may Jesus bless us with his miracles. Blanket of safety.
Many miracles. Magnets. Magnets for all. Well, with liberty and magnets for all.
May all your cell phones be eaten by pelicans.
did a cell phone eat you? Pelican eat your cell phone?
In miracles, verse number 3.
I'm not as I need to get.
I mean, honestly, if I saw that, I would think it'd be pretty miraculous too.
Yeah,
that's definitely a religious experience.
If a pelican ate your cell phone,
yeah,
yes,
he ate Violent J's cell phone, and Shaggy Two Dope ran away.
Dude, miracle alert!
I don't deny it.
All right, well, everyone, thanks for listening. You know, pray for us, please. And Brendan,
all right, well, guys, have fun. Sorry, I can't make it. But thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back soon. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Whoop whoop.
Frogcast@gmail.com. And until next time, whenever that may be, keep listening and good night and good chins.